भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the sixth canto, chapter 5, verse number 21. Iti vyavasita rajan haryasva eka chetasaha prayayus tam Parikramya Pantanam Anivartanam Iti Vyavasita Rajan Haryasva Eka Chetasaha Prayayustam Parikramya Pantanam anivartanam Iti vyavyasita rajan Haryasva eka chetasaha Prayayustam parikramya Pantanam anivartanam Please chant. Matajis. Anyone else? Iti, thus, vyavyasitaha, being fully convinced by the instructions of Narada Muni, Rajan, O King, Haryasvaha, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, Ekachetasaha, all being of the same opinion, Prayayu, left. Tam, Narada Muni. Parikramya, circumambulating. Pantanam, on the path. Anivartanam, which does not bring one back again to this material world. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in the instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world. Please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in the instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world. Purport. From this verse, we can understand the meaning of initiation and the duties of a disciple and spiritual master. The spiritual master never instructs his disciple, quote, take a mantra from me, pay me some money, and by practicing this yoga system, you will become very expert in materialistic life, end quote. This is not the duty of a spiritual master. Rather, the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to give up materialistic life. And the disciple's duty is to assimilate his instructions and ultimately follow the path back home, back to Godhead, from whence no one returns to this material world. After hearing the instructions of Narada Muni, the Haryasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, decided not to be entangled in materialistic life by begetting hundreds of children and having to take care of them. This would have been unnecessarily entangling. The Haryasvas did not consider pious and impious activities. Their materialistic father had instructed them to increase the population, but because of the words of Narada Muni, they could not heed that instruction. Narada Muni, as their spiritual master, gave them the Shastric instructions that they should give up this material world. And as bona fide disciples, they followed his instructions. One should not endeavor to wander to different planetary systems within this universe. For even if one goes to the topmost planetary system, Brahmaloka, one must return again. Ksine punye marcha lokam vishanti. Bhagavad Gita 9:21. The endeavors of karmis are a useless waste of time. One should endeavor to return home back to Godhead. This is the perfection of life. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avartina arjuna mam upetya tu kunteya punar janma na vidyate. From the highest planet in the mature world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Om Gyanata Madandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshus Umetam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakata Mayam Dadanti Svabhadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa tubhyascha kripasindubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Iti vyavisita rajan haryasva eka echetasaha prayayustam parikramya pantanam anivartanam. Sukadev Goswami continued, my dear king, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in the instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world. So this is we just finished hearing the enigmatic words of Narada being explained in detail of what they meant. Just imagine how intelligent these Haryasvas are. You know, they just hear this kind of a allegory from Narada Muni, and immediately they just, you know, just imagine if you heard this, you know, my dear Haryasvas, or my dear devotees, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. There's a kingdom where only one man lives, and when there is a hole from which having entered, no one emerges. A woman there, who is extremely unchaste, adorns herself with various attractive dresses, and the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom, there's a river flowing in both directions. A wonderful home made of 25 materials, a swan that vibrates various sounds, and an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are inexperienced boys without advanced knowledge. How then will you create progeny? Alas, your father is omniscient, but you do not know his actual order. Without knowing the actual purpose of your father, how will you create progeny? So imagine if you heard these words. You say, what? What did you say? What does that mean? But just see the intelligence of these 10,000 sons of Prajapati Daksha. It's just amazing how they immediately understood what all these different, you know, meanings meant to them. And they made a decision from hearing these words of Narada Muni. So this is interesting how Prajapati Daksha is considered to be perfect. He's attained perfection, and this perfection is in materialistic life. He's expert. That's what Daksha means, expert in sex life. So he was very expert in producing children. And he was able, you know, in the first go, 10,000 sons. But he was very pious. He was actually considered a saintly person, because he was following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to create progeny to help fulfill the desires of all the living entities. So he's considered a saintly personality. Excuse me. So he was very expert. And to just see how, in order to have his sons produce progeny, he encouraged them to go and become fixed up in austerities and penances and perform these things so you get purified. And then after you get purified, then you can decide what you want to do. It's not that he forced them, but he actually gave them the free will to perform these austerities and, you know, gain this knowledge. And they decided themselves. They had their free will. And then on the other hand, there's expert Narada Muni. He's also expert. He's attained perfection. And he is very expert in convincing people and helping the conditioned souls become Krishna conscious. So he appears on the scene, and by his expertise, he explains this very enigmatic words that I just repeated and enlightened the sons. And they became convinced, as we heard here today, that this is the path to follow, and therefore we're going to follow it. We'll go back to guide him. It's completely a waste of time here in this mature world, you know, engaging in all these materialistic, pious, impious activities. It's better just to go back home, back to guided. Confirmed. It's better to go back home, back to guided. So, this is an interesting conflict that happens, though, because of this. There's the materialistic expert parents, expert materialists, who are engaged in training up their dependents, their children, their followers in materialistic ways of life. And then on the other hand, we have our spiritual teachers, our masters. They're also very expert. And there's this conflict where they don't agree on these topics. And you can see here, as coming up here in these verses, Daksha doesn't agree with Narada Muni. In fact, he claims, actually you're dressed like a saintly person, but yet you're not a saint. But I'm a saint because I'm performing these proper duties to help my sons become renounced. After all, you have to taste this miseries of the material world, you know, this pleasure and pain before you can actually give it up. It's important that you do that. You're making them renounce just by changing their dress. You're making them sannyasis, you know. So therefore, I curse you that you'll never be able to reside any place longer than, 3 days or something. So anyway, there was a benediction for Narada Muni because he's not interested in hanging out different places. He just wants to travel and preach and spread Krishna consciousness. So this conflict has always been going on since time immemorial, Srila Prabhupada says. There's always been this conflict between the parents and the devotees, you know, the preachers of Krishna consciousness. So, you know, there's always a conflict. They become disturbed. And Prabhupada used his own example when he came and preached to the, you know, the children of the Western parents and even the Indian parents. They became very disturbed and they cursed him also. And we know even the story of Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, was very much disturbed by supposedly the instructions of his inexperienced boy. He thought he was such an inexperienced boy. What did you learn today? He thought he'd just give him something impractical and, you know, just something that not really important. But he gives him this great wisdom. By his great intelligence, he was educated by Narada in the womb. And he had all this knowledge. And he could see immediately, you know, the proper path to follow. And he followed this path. And he tried to instruct his father in this way. But his father, what happened? He became angry to the point he wanted to kill his own son. So this conflict is always there. But Prabhupada encouraged that the devotees should not be afraid to go on and preach. This is our mission, because you become very dear to Krishna and Narada Muni and all the great sages and the disciplic succession if we do preach despite difficulties and people cursing and you know, threatening and so many things like that. So there's so many examples of this in our own society. We see many of the children of the parents were kidnapped even, tried to deprogram them, you know, and convince them back to a materialistic way of life. And eventually, you know, they went through this process. Very few of them, I think, ever left Krishna consciousness. And most of them came back or they escaped. And even their parents that have hired deprogrammers to try to deprogram their children, their parents themselves became devotees eventually. So eventually Krishna consciousness wins like that. And that's our ultimate goal, is to, you know, get on this proper path and understand the futility, no matter where you go, high or low, the highest planet in the universe to the lowest planet, they're all places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So this is the intelligence that we have to gain by hearing these transcendental instructions from the sadhus, from the saintly persons, you know, from these scriptures. You know, this is our real fatherly instructions, you know, to guide us properly. Otherwise, what happens? We learn from this particular pastime that the intelligence becomes unsteady. What is this intelligence? It's a guide. You know, it's like a map. It's a road map. It's, you know, someone giving us direction. So where are we going to get our direction from? Unsteady intelligence, which guides us in the improper direction. Otherwise, we have to become very intelligent like Prahlad Maharaj and these Haryasvas. And ultimately, their brothers also became. Even though Daksha knew that there was a chance that his next 1,000 sons could be, you know, swayed against his orders, still, he gave them the freedom to go out and perform austerities in the same place their brothers did, you know, at the risk that they would not decide. So he gave them free will. It wasn't forced upon them. And they ultimately decide in the proper manner. But yet, because he was a Grihamedi, he had a tendency to find fault. and criticized. So therefore, he had this conflict with Narada Muni, and he became angry and cursed him. So it's our duty, as Prabhupada says in the purport here, to assimilate these instructions and ultimately follow the path back home, back to Godhead, from whence no one returns. So, as Prabhupada said, there's the proper duty of a spiritual master is to instruct, and then the proper duty of the disciple is to actually assimilate that, which means he has to study, absorb, meditate on it, you know, and practice it and follow it himself. And then if you do that, then you will attain that ultimate result. You're actually on the right path. So we have to see how we're utilizing our time. You know, they had this test where they showed how they had people do a test and they wrote down, what are the five most important things that you want, that are to you in your life? So people write those down, five most important things. And then they tell them, okay, now now go back into your life and what are the five most activities that you do during the day? Activities. The five things that you do every day. You know. So then you kind of compare that and see how they actually line up with what your actual idea is of the five most important things that there is to do. So we have to see and make sure that's in alignment. We assimilate it and then align it with our activities, everyday activities, and doing all these, following all these instructions. So this is amazing what Narada Muni had accomplished. He actually delivered the entire family of Swayambhuva Manu, beginning with Priyavrata, then Uttanapad, then he delivered Uttanapad's son Dhruva, and then he delivered Prachinabarhi, who was also engaged in fruitive activities. But there was only one person he could not deliver, and that was Prajapati Daksha. And actually, in this pastime, he tries to approach him because Daksha becomes very frustrated and he's in a position where one is, you know, in a bereavement over his children. So sometimes during that time, it's good to preach to the person and try to get them to renounce also. But when Narada Muni approached him, you know, he thought, oh, this is a good opportunity to preach to him too, try to deliver Prajapati Daksha. But what happened is that's when Pradapsa Daksha became angry and cursed him instead. And this is because, you know, he was attached to his particular fruitive activities like that Prabhupada describes. So this is a very interesting pastime. And there's so many lessons that we can learn here. So many subtle things that we have to understand about. It's not just the dress. There's so many analogies that we could just meditate on. You know, as you can see, these supposedly materialistic analogies and how we could relate them to our life so that we can purify our consciousness and constantly be absorbed in Krishna consciousness like that. So, this is a nice purport where Prabhupada talks about these criticisms. Such are the criticisms that must be borne by the servants of Narada Muni in the disciplic succession. Through the Krishna consciousness movement, we're trying to train young people to become devotees and return home back to Godhead by following rigid regulated principles. But our service is appreciated neither in India nor abroad in the Western countries where we're endeavoring to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. In India, the caste brahmanas have become enemies of the Krishna consciousness movement because we elevate foreigners who are supposed to be malechas and yavanas to the position of a brahmanas. We train them in austerities and penances and recognize them as brahmanas by awarding them the sacred threads. Thus, the caste brahmanas of India are very displeased by our activities in the Western world. And in the West also, the parents of the young people who join this movement have also become enemies. We have no business creating enemies, but the process is such that non-devotees will always be inimical towards us. Nevertheless, as stated in the Shastras, a devotee should be both tolerant and merciful. Devotees engaged in preaching should be prepared to be accused by ignorant persons, and yet they must be very merciful to the fallen conditioned souls. If one can execute his duty in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni, his service will surely be recognized, as the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end, he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Let us continue preaching the message of Lord Krishna and not be afraid of enemies. Our only duty is to satisfy the Lord by this preaching, which will be accepted as service by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. We must sincerely serve the Lord and not be deterred by so-called enemies. So this is a very interesting pastime, how Prajapati Daksha is actually a saintly person, Narada Muni is actually a saintly person, but there's conflicts. And you could see how the mentality of saintly persons, even though there are some faults going between them, actually Prajapati Daksha could understand that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. He himself performed austerities and pleased the Lord. He knew there was a person in order to create progeny like that. And he also engaged his sons in such pious activities. And ultimately, Narada Muni, the great preacher, took advantage of this, and who acted as their real father, the spiritual master, and instructed them. And they took heart and they followed accordingly. And I'll compare that to today. There's some interesting advancements today in society where they talk about the evolution of species, you know, how Darwin's theory, that's one thing, how things were created. They always leave out the Supreme Person there, how we, you know, they evolved somehow or other. And then they have new theories now where they talk about how it's the environment, how the environment starts to change the different species. And now they're thinking that now they could change these species by design. So they're thinking that we could just simply manipulate the different species, the different genes of different types of living entities, and then we could create new species ourselves just by our own intelligence. There's no really God, but we could just do it ourselves. For example, so now they have, you know, these deep, deep water fish, they actually glow in the dark. So they've taken the genes or whatever from them, and they've been able to implant those in other living entities. So they put them in regular fish, you know, like in fish tanks, and they're glowing. And they actually put them in mice. And you see these mice that glow, and then they put them in cats and even little puppies. So they're doing this. So there are so many different types of species they're creating now. Like, you know, there's the beefalo, but it's half lion, half tiger. And they're thinking that they personally are creating all these different species, you know. And they're even going farther to think that, okay, now we can do this. So they're actually getting, actually living entities like big bugs and types of insects. And they implant different cameras, microphones on them, and they actually control them like a joystick. They can actually control them. They take their brain and they control them in such a way that they're just used for their personal information, like to spy or to go in enemy lines like that. You know, so, and then they're thinking also, we need different parts. Like now, We know that a lot of people are needing different parts for organs are giving out. They need a new organ, they need new kidneys, liver, you know, so many different parts of their bodies. So they're figuring out how now they could get actually rats and even pigs to, they would give them certain things and they would actually produce different drugs and different medicines and things for human beings. And they did this one experiment where they successfully got a rat. They did some manipulation with the rat and they were able to have the rat grow an ear actually out of his side. And then they took that ear and then they transferred it to a human being. So here, you could just see how they're, supposedly they're thinking that we are controlling nature. We can create different species ourselves without God. But all they're doing is just manipulating material energy. But compare how we're reading now the actual way of how creation takes place. It's through a very scientific, it's a very spiritual, you know, it's through austerity and realizing that there's a supreme person who is the source of everything and that we need to go there. But otherwise we get so confused in the material world, we become like these so-called scientists that think we can manipulate things for our own sense gratification, trying to become happy here. So it just becomes unlimited, you could see. Instead of realizing what the real path is just to renounce all this stuff and go back home, back to Godhead. You know, what's the use of all this manipulation here in the material world? Whether it's through scientific experiments or manipulating our own particular position or situation. It's all a useless waste of time. What a distraction. What a waste of time. So we should follow in the footsteps, you know, of the Harasvas and their brothers and take to heart the instructions of Narada Muni so that we can actually get on the right path and become happy. So I'll stop there. Is there any comments or questions, realizations? Yes, Amala Bhakta Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class today, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Made a lot of very nice points. I just wanted to add one point to it, and that is, in spite of the fact that scientists are manipulating genes and creating slightly different forms of those particular creatures, if you ask them, though, can you take from nothing and create that creature? Just create the creature.
Yeah.
Never mind manipulating what's already there, which was given by some creator.
Yeah.
Can you do what that creator has done? If you haven't, you haven't really done anything except make a few rearrangements. Create the original, and then we will respect you as being truly powerful. Of course, there are some yogis who have been given that power to do that, but they derive it from, of course, Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, they take credit, like if they're such great, like if they came up with it, they get all the credit, and they don't even recognize God. Not once is God mentioned or any kind of spiritual thing. Yes. Did someone else want something to say? Yes, Krishna Pad. Jai. All right, thank you for your kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.